What happens when secrets are revealed? That's the question at the heart of Pivot's Secret Lives of Americans. It's a groundbreaking documentary series that looks at the secrets we all keep, the strength it takes to reveal them to family and friends, and the realization that you are not alone. You can watch an all-new episode of Secret Lives of Americans this Friday at its new time, 7 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Pivot. Secret Lives of Americans deals with some really important subjects, such as religious tolerance, addiction, transgender rights, same-sex marriage, and student debt. What makes this show truly unique is that each person filmed themselves with a handheld camera or phone over the course of several days. We see their lives change firsthand when they make the important decision to open up. Through each person's reveal, one thing becomes clear. It only takes one voice to change the story. Watch an all-new episode of Secret Lives of Americans this Friday at its new time, 7 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, on Pivot, the television network from Participant Media. To find out how you can watch Pivot, go to pivot.tv.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, and I'm very excited about today's show because today we're going to be doing something a little bit different, but still related to what we're talking about with this Survivor season coming up, because we have the battle of the millennials and the Gen Xers about to unfold on our TV sets on September 21st. And so I thought it would be very fun to really explore what does it mean to be a millennial? What does it mean to be a Gen Xer? And we have a great guest to talk about all of that with us. That she is the global CMO of Wonderman, and she is a generational expert. Please welcome to the show, Jamie, good friend. Jamie, how are you?
I am so excited to be here. Thanks for having me on the show, Rob.
Yeah, well, Jamie, I'm very excited to talk about this because I think that this is something that we hear quite a bit about, that even before Survivor, the idea of, oh, millennials do this and millennials do that. But I don't know if any of us really have a good idea about what it means to be a millennial. And I think that we are doubly confused about what it means to be a Generation Xer. And now we're going to have them competing against each other on Survivor. So I thought that this would be very fun to explore this. So Jamie, thank you very much for coming on with us. Could you tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you became a generational expert?
I think it was just out of fear because I needed to figure out how to manage in the workplace. No, so I help manage the marketing for Wonderman, which is a global digital advertising agency. And our clients, which everybody from Coke and United Airlines to Microsoft and Shell, are constantly trying to find ways to be more relevant to their audience. And as their audience shifts and grows and ages, they need to know what is relevant to each generation. So one of the roles that I play is helping them understand why certain generations behave differently than others. And it is a bit of a generalization, but I also think it's a bit of a secret sauce. So if you're betting on Survivor, I feel like I can give you some unfair handicapping on some of the tendencies and characteristics, not just about what they're doing in terms of behavioral differences, but why. And that why part is really the secret sauce that I think is going to make this show and this season so fascinating.
Generation Y?
No, the why of no. Why. So why they behave the way they do, yes, and why yes, Gen yes. X is so different than Gen Z or Gen Y.
Okay, yeah. So you really believe that millennials are fundamentally different than the people who were from the quote-unquote Generation X?
Beyond different, and I'll tell you why. It's not, and these are generalizations, but when you look at how someone was raised, that's where the generational study comes in. And the way we look at it is this. If you've ever met anybody, for example, that grew up in the Depression, it doesn't matter how well off they become later, or they became later on in their life. They always have a certain affinity or a certain kind of an approach when it comes to money. It just marked them because that's how they were raised in their early lives. So when you look at boomers to X to Y, there are some fundamental differences based on how they were raised and combined with what was going on in the world at that time. So if you look at baby boomers, because literally, if anyone ever has a problem with Gen Y, which I use the term Gen Y and millennials, that's another thing that kind of gets confusing.
Yes.
they're pretty much the same thing. So for purposes of this, we'll call them, we can call them Gen Y, but they're the same thing as millennials. So what happened was you had this giant generation of baby boomers born after World War II, large families, and that eventually became the hippie generation. But they were a massive generation because they were the engine that kickstarted the economy all over the world. Now, when they were young, again, they were the hippies.
Mm-hmm.
But then they started companies and grew up and, you know, all those great things. They gave us great companies. They gave us great music. And they are the parents of Gen Y. So you kind of have this generational skip. So you have these two affinities. In between boomers and Gen Y, you have Gen X. Now, when Gen X was born, and I'm a proud Gen X, so I'll say I'm somewhere between 35 and 50, and then I'm just going to leave it at that and not go any farther.
Sure.
When Gen X was born, the divorce rates around the world were skyrocketing. And Gen X typically, especially in the United States, were the original latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know many Gen Xers, but when we graduated college, you ask a Gen Xer and they would say they would rather have lived on the street than moved home with their parents.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm 37, so I do know about being a Gen Xer.
So you're right. You're right there. I would also say, were you raised by wolves?
You know, my mom was home during the day, but then when my brother is younger than me, and he's like 8 years younger than me, when he started kindergarten, and my mom ended up going back to work. So it wasn't really until I was in high school that there was nobody home when I used to get home from school.
Well, that's probably for another podcast, but I would say, you were raised with you didn't have seatbelts. You didn't have helmets. There was no sunblock, right? You didn't
have
seatbelts.
There were seatbelts. There were no helmets. Yeah.
No helmets. I mean, it was a little bit more of a rough and tumble kind of an existence.
Yeah.
But the other thing was our parents, you know, parents of Gen Xers had no clue what we were doing. There wasn't really a lot of knowledge once you left the house. And one of the big distinctions between Gen X and Gen Y is that when kids left the house back in the day, your parents had no clue. But when you came home, the adults in your life controlled everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very big difference in generations. Whereas for millennials, when millennials or Gen Y leave the house, everybody knows everything about what they're doing. Their parents, when it came to digital and social media, et cetera, they couldn't control that because they had access to a world that parents either didn't understand or couldn't control.
Yeah.
So you kind of had those differences. But then you go, so you look at Gen X raised that way. And then in the workforce, Gen X started to deal with millennials, and that's a topic. And then you've got millennials. So what happened was, as the millennials were being born, they're a giant, unprecedentedly large generation, about 2 billion of them globally.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents, who wanted to be the absolute best parents they could possibly be, were terrified. Because if you look at the news around the time when millennials were being born, it was, your kid will never get into college. They'll never get a job. There's so much competition because there's just so many of them. So boomer parents, in this effort to try to be great parents, they wanted their kids, they conducted essentially a giant social experiment. And they wanted their kids to feel special. They wanted them to believe that they could do anything or be anyone they wanted to be, which is why you have a lot of frustration with Gen Xers who look at Gen Ys and say, oh, yeah, well, they got a trophy for showing up, or they're special snowflakes. Very different upbringing. But it was really done in response to what was going on in the world and the marketplace. And that's where the baby Einsteins and the playdates and helicopter parenting came in.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to give them a competitive edge.
Yeah.
So you kind of have that. It's not really the battle of the sexes. It's the war of the generations. So that all comes crashing together in the workforce, or now it's going to come crashing together on the island, because you've got a generation that was individual, was not taken care of in the same way, that was really thrown out on their own, that it really didn't have a lot of supervision, that, you know, greed is good and wants the corner office, put in the same environment as a generation that was told that they could do anything and, yes, we want to hear what you have to say. And those two things don't work so well in the workplace. I can't imagine how they're going to function on an island. That's going to be fantastic.
You know, I'd like to hear you talk a little bit more about the Generation X side of this, because I think we've focused a lot of the attention on the millennials. But to me, in sort of like looking at Generation X and what it was talked about when I was younger, you know, I feel like that there's almost two different sides to the Generation X, where I feel like you have the people who sort of like maybe are the older Generation Xers, the people that are sort of like the greed is good and sort of like the idea of the yuppies who are sort of like hardworking, like a stockbroker wannabe, sort of like the Alex P. Keaton's of the 80s. And then as you go into the 90s, sort of the as we think of like the people listening like to grunge music and sort of like a rejection of that. To me, I don't really understand how those two sort of people in their 20s are necessarily the same generation.
It's because, you know, it's not really an exact science, and there are always these crossover generations. So you do have anomalies that go as the generations get a little bit older. Generations have typically been about 20 years, and that's getting more and more compressed. But you will find some similarities, right? It's not always down to the individual person, but you do have similarities. So in all Gen Xers, they tend to be much more individualistic. They tend to feel that my one action is not going to make that big of an impact. If you think about some of the big causes back for Gen X, there was the t-shirt line. Do you remember silence equals death? You couldn't really get a large group of people together unless it was at a concert. You didn't have a lot of ability to gather a crowd. So Gen Xers, because of the lack of technology in their formative years, not later on. Remember, the characteristic building part of the generation happens much earlier. So that part, there was no technology. Well, the technology was a little bit more rudimentary. We were all excited when we got answering machines. That was high tech. And the remote access code for answering machines, now that was big time, because that really changed a lot of behaviors. But this individualistic perspective, I have to rely on myself, that's pretty consistent throughout most Gen Xers, as well as this somewhat negative, or what I would say realistic, perspective that most Gen Xers have, which I do want to point out has an impact, because we have one anomaly. I believe we have one Gen Z. We have an 18-year-old that's going to be playing, and that player is a Gen Z, not a Gen Y. So Gen Xers are mostly the parents of Gen Z, and they've passed that along to the generation. So you have if boomers were, we can change the world because we're special, and then Gen Xers are, oh, I've got to do it for myself because I'm an individual, then you look at the children of those two generations, and for Gen Y, it's the secret weapon is self-esteem, because they've been told they could do great things. And then the secret weapon for a Gen Z is being highly realistic and pragmatic. And so you've got a little bit of that popping in with that one lone character. So I think that's going to be an interesting piece to watch.
Are you saying that the Generation Z is sort of like more of a combination of the characteristics of both X and Y?
I don't know if they're necessarily a combination. They are a more practical expression of both generations. Their access to technology has been for their entire lives, as opposed to the part of their life when they were, say, in junior high school or high school. That's all they know, pretty much. I mean, they only know access to technology. And so they are digital to them. It's all one thing. There is no online and offline. It's all one continuum. And in fact, like if you talk to a Gen Z, one of their biggest pet peeves, we just did a research study, and about 87% of them said the worst thing a brand can do is have one look and feel in store and another online, meaning it has to be consistent. So for a Gen Z, if you don't have a consistent perspective across digital and physical, you are not even in the running because you look too old school.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will be on the lookout for that in the future season, Millennials versus Gen Z.
Yeah. Well, I would take Gen Z all day long.
Okay. All right. Well, so you feel like that the Millennials maybe coming into this season could be at the disadvantage? Do you feel like that they are organized enough to be a group of Millennials and really come together and be functional?
I actually don't. I think it's the opposite.
Okay.
My bet is in the early stages of the show, because Gen Y Millennials are much better at collaborating. That's how they grew up. They're always in a group. You ever see a Gen Y alone? They're mm-hmm. never alone. They're always together. And so if the Gen Xers want to do a little jujitsu, if they can isolate a millennial, that's when they get into trouble, because they were on teams. They love to be coached. They like having a mission. They like working together. And they're from a very networked generation. That's all they know. Gen Xers are, again, the opposite. They're much more individualistic and do much better as lone wolves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that, I think in the beginning stages, the collaboration is going to be much easier for the millennials, just as a generation. And for the Xers, they might have a bit of a harder time figuring out who's going to drive and who's going to be the leader. But when you start to get later on in the season and it starts to require a bit of strategy and a little bit more ability to function solo, I think the Gen Xers will have an advantage because they don't need to be coached. Gen Xers don't do well with criticism either. So that's going to play a role. We don't tend to take feedback in the same way. Millennials are much more comfortable that way.
We've been talking about what potentially the leadership structure might look like in this tribe of millennials. So you have, 10 random millennials who are out there together. Do you expect there to be one sort of a leader, or do you think it'll be sort of this type of structure where everybody is on the same level?
I think it's going to evolve. I think that in the beginning, everyone will be working to be equal. Everybody's special. Everybody gets a trophy. Everyone has a say. And I think they're going to work really hard to try and make everyone an equal. And then I think over time, either through hunger or through personality or through the idea that they're, sick of each other, that will start to break down.
And then what about in terms of the Generation X people as they are starting to deal with the millennials? Do you sense that there will be some sort of a frustration there? Because I think what happens on these Survivor seasons is that when they bring out one of these traits, I think that shine a light on it's this versus this. I do feel like that those traits tend to be exaggerated in people.
Well, it's zeitgeist, right? If you say someone has a certain trait, then that's all you're looking for. So it's entirely possible that that could happen in the editing. But I think that the Gen Xers will bond over their mutual frustration with the behaviors of the millennials. And we're all really good at that, because that's a conversation that most people have on a regular basis, which happens in every generation, I might add. This is not special. Gen Xers' frustration with the millennials is not any more special than boomers had frustration with Gen Xers. This goes all the way back to, Roman times when Plutarch, the historian, not to get too, historical here, but he complained about the youth and that the roads were ruined, that the fact that the Roman cities now had roads, that was going to be the demise of society. So this goes on all the time. But given the media, given the proximity of so many generations working together and the huge disparities in the generations in the workforce, I think you're going to see a lot of the Gen Xers bonding together with the proverbial eye roll about how the millennials are going to about their behaviors. I think you're going to see a lot of side conversations about that. I think the smart play is if and when the teams get mixed up, the Gen Xers that can lean in and start to leverage the partnership of the millennials, because that cross-generational strength will give somebody a huge advantage.
Do you think that a Gen Xer will be more likely to want to work with a millennial or vice versa?
I think that a Gen Xer will have a harder time answering to a millennial. But if I were a millennial on this season, I would find a way, whether that makes them want to throw up a little bit, if they can learn to manage up and tell the Gen Xer what they want and want to hear, I think that those millennials will have a real advantage. So if I'm a bit of a crafty, devious millennial, I can pretend, I can make peace, I can lean into the Gen X management style and make them feel like they're in charge, and then get them, it's much easier to, I don't necessarily want to say manipulate, but to get what they need. I think that will be a much more powerful combination.
A lot of people had questions about the idea of what about these people that are, you know, 32, 33 years old, who are sort of like right smack in the middle of these two generations. Is it possible? Is it linear where if you're born before this certain date, you're this generation, or is there some sort of leeway with people that are in the middle of this person was raised more like a Generation Xer or looks at life more like a millennial?
There's a lot of gray area here, but if in a game, in a strategy situation, one of the clues is to look at their family history and to see how they were raised. So as you said, you were raised with your mom at home, which means that you're going to be very different than someone who was raised with a working mom and coming home and letting yourself in and watching cartoons by yourself all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the big strategy points is if you need to figure out how someone is going to behave or react, if you can do a little sociological family ancestry digging, you can figure out how they were raised, and that'll give you a better sense of their perspective and how they're going to be oriented in the world.
I'm really interested to see how the tribe of millennials will be able to really put it together in terms of organizing their camp, because I think on Survivor, you really do need, if not sort of like a dictator, I think that it really does help to have a very strong manager to be saying what needs to be done at what times and sort of really have an accountability for all the tasks that need to get done around the camp to have a functional camp life. Do you think that the millennials will be able to pull this off?
I hope so. They're going to be very cold, hungry, and wet.
Yeah.
It's going to be very challenging. I mean, they're all created. If everybody is created equal, who's going to be the most equal? And I think they're going to struggle with identifying who that leader is without making everyone else angry at them, because that's not how millennials are structured.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a real skill set to be the person that helps be that leader, as you said, but also not to make everyone else feel disenfranchised. So they're going to almost have to, maybe the word is franchise. They're almost going to need to franchise. Like, you are the CEO of the fire. You are the CEO of gathering water.
Yes.
And so that everyone is in charge, but perceived to have some sort of equality in their degree of in charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all are important stakeholders in the well-being of the camp. I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that might be one way that they could accomplish that. And they're going to have a lot of opportunities to discuss the pros and cons so that everybody has a say.
Mm-hmm.
And someone is going to need to be able to listen to everybody and be able to make sure that everyone's heard. One of the ways that we, in a business sense, that we call millennials is we call them venture consumers. And this is from a buying perspective. But because they've been raised to believe that their thoughts and their opinions are all incredibly valid and important and significant, and I'm not a millennial hater at all. This is just how they were raised. Their parents said, tell me what you think, right? And that's what fuels a millennial on their first day of work, walking into the office and saying, I'm going to go talk to the CEO. They're not trying to be difficult. They're not trying to be assuming. That's just how they were raised. So when you think about that in this situation, when they're consumers or someone is trying to make a decision, they want to feel like they are part of a larger mission and that whatever the goal is, their actions are respected, that they are being treated almost like an investor. So if you think about the tribe, each individual is going to have to feel like their investment is recognized and that they're going to have to understand the impact of each individual contribution. That's like crowdfunding almost, or it's like the idea of, I'm not just buying a car or I'm not buying a pair of shoes like Tom's, I'm investing in a mission, and you, company, are going to acknowledge me just like you would if I was buying stock. Mm-hmm. So if you think of the tribe as a company, the individual investors are going to want recognition for everything that they have done. And they're going to want to understand, okay, if I win this task, how does that contribute to the greater good so that I can see my individual contributions and path, which is complicated and not very efficient. Whereas Gen Xers may have a free-for-all and they'll just figure it out and then fight to the death and be like gladiators.
How do you think that both of the generations deal with the idea of rejection differently? And betrayal.
Well, interesting. So if you think about a Gen Xer, how we were raised, right? Most of the feedback from adults in our life was either ignored or negative.
Yes.
Right. There was no, you were special. It's, you're out of school. You're not coming home. Go get a job. Mm-hmm. Now, we can all say we have great relationships with our parents, and many people do. But in millennial or Gen Y life, they are friends with their parents. We call them parents because there's a closeness and a connection. So it's a constant feedback loop. Millennials are constantly getting feedback. They're rating Amazon. They're rating other people's purchases. They're talking about people's clothing. Everything is rated in numbers and data and acknowledged on a sliding scale. When it comes to feedback, that's part of how they live. Gen X, not so much. It's a little bit harder to get that negative feedback. But when it comes to a betrayal, if it is a one-to-one betrayal, that's going to be something that I think Gen X is more comfortable with. Where I think is going to be a challenge is if a millennial is sort of stripped from the herd, that's going to be really hard. If you've got one weak link and the rest of the group turns on them, that's going to be devastating.
I think that's going to be another fun aspect of this to watch. But I do think in terms of the millennials, I think that a big part of this, and this is sort of like my amateur sociologist theory, that is that so much of the difference between the Generation Xers and the millennials is because of the internet. And I feel like as somebody who didn't really have the internet up until I was, you know, starting to be in college and get out of college, that it just seems like that if you grew up with something like the internet, which in so many different ways is a meritocracy, which is whatever ideas are sort of put out there, especially in youth culture, that those sort of things are rewarded. Whereas I do feel like as somebody who didn't necessarily grow up with that, it did seem like that there was a lot more despair about becoming an adult. And it was sort of like the idea of giving up anything that was fun when you become an adult. Whereas this generation that grew up with the internet was able to explore that a lot more and find things that were, it seemed like there was a lot more reason for optimism with the millennial generation. Is that crazy talk?
No, not crazy talk at all. Millennials are optimistic. I mean, that's just how they were raised. They're incredibly optimistic. Even post-recession, sort of, if you think about the sharing economy, right? The sharing economy is the result of an optimistic generation. Okay, we can't afford to buy anything. We'll just figure out how to share and work together and get the things that we want and distribute our resources. Gen Xers would never have done that. So that's the positive of the internet. But Rob, you could look at it the other way too. You could look at it and say they're not resilient. They don't know how to figure anything out unless they type it in, and they've never had to be on their own. It's always instructions. They've had play dates. Like if you think about, I love looking at millennials from the context of gaming, right? Mm-hmm. They never die in games. They kept getting power-ups. They kept getting do-overs. They kept getting all kinds of chances.
Right.
Gen Xers, you die, you're done. And so it just gives you a little bit of a tougher perspective. But Gen X did not rely on anybody else to get anything done. You put a TV dinner in, that's how you fed yourself. You got on your bike, you went to your friend's house. You had that kind of resilience baked in. Millennials, they know how to collaborate and cooperate, but they are far more reliant on instructions and finding information that's wikied for them and Wikipedia and not going into, imagine the skill set that we all learn spending hours in a library trying to figure out the Dewey Decimal System versus just typing in, you know, what year was so-and-so born, or even now talking to Siri or Alexa. I mean, you don't have that same skill if you're the patience and the ability to go granular that you have from a lifetime of being on your own. That one goes into the Gen X advantage box. I think we need a chart. I think we need to look at a chart of like advantage, disadvantages.
Right. So in terms of any misconceptions that people might have about millennials, are there any ideas that are sort of commonly thought of when we talk about this generation that you've found to not be true?
The word entitlement is the first word that most people say. And I disagree with that. I don't think that they feel entitled. I think they feel empowered. And again, it goes back to how they were raised. They don't necessarily expect things to come to them easily because they deserve it. They just don't know any different. That's just how they were raised. The world did come to them. And I think entitlement is something that will be talked about a lot in the coverage and also from a Gen X perspective, but that's lazy from a strategic standpoint. Don't underestimate them. I don't think that they feel entitled. I think that they feel empowered. That would be the big one that I would say.
When did it change over that the Generation X generation, when I was younger, was talked about as, this lazy
slackers.
Generation X, these slackers, where, you know, there were all these 90s movies like The Reality Bites and Singles and stuff like that, which just depicted lazy Generation X people just like sitting around drinking coffee. When did it become hardworking Generation Xers?
When we became the bosses and were hiring people.
Is that it?
I think that's what it is. I mean, sort of the difference is, you know, millennials work to live, but Gen X lives to work, right? And so I think once we found our way in sort of the 80s and started to make a bit of money and we had a bit more control, I think that's when it started to shift because we all wanted that corner office. And we started to see other people getting the corner office. And even in all of those classic movies where you had slackers, the heroes were always the ones that were the hardworking. These were the ones that got the girl. They always ended up with Winona Ryder. That was the reward. You ended up with the corner office and Winona Ryder. The ones that didn't work were the slackers. And there was no fantasy. There was no romantic, oh, they're so happy they have nothing living in a VW and driving around the world. That was never glamorized. Never, ever, ever for Gen X. There was no glamorous depiction of not having money. Whereas for Gen Y, there is this romanticized vision of, okay, I have no money, so I'll travel the world and couch surf. That has never been a depiction. And I think the real tipping point was probably as Gen X started to become management and having kids. That, you know, that's another thing. And I think the workplace was the great equalizer where Gen X found themselves caught between boomers and then started to have Gen Y come into their work environment. And it's like it's like the gladiators with the Roman emperors fighting to the death. And I think that's what shifted.
So Generation X really got shafted on both sides because you had the baby boomers who treated them not with a ton of respect and said, you have to work your way to get up to this spot. And then the millennials came in and said, like, hey, we should be at that spot, too.
Well, they're also outnumbered. You know, they're half the size.
Yeah.
So I think that they just got squeezed.
Yeah.
I do say one thing. You know, we all, many, many Gen Xers, the one advantage that Gen Y's never had is we lived pre-HIV/AIDS, so I will say there was that advantage. We did have some good times where there was not a mortal consequence to some of our actions.
Yeah.
And I would also say we had the ability to make mistakes and not have it be a part of our permanent record.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge opportunity for self-actualization and development that millennials don't have because everything's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that advantage. We were able to say things, get rid of people in our lives that we don't want to talk to anymore. Now they found us. But there was a long period of time where you could be anonymous.
Yeah.
There's no anonymity for anybody, and your mistakes live with you forever, which, as you know, it has a long impact. I mean, the ones I feel really sorry for when it comes to something like that is Gen Z. And my one word that I would say to all the millennials who are now parents, because there's about 40% of millennials are already parents, because people think of them as being kids. That's another misconception. Most grown-ups, and I say that with air quotes, think of millennials as being kids. And millennials, you know, are up to like 35, 36, 37 years old. So that's not necessarily a kid anymore. But the big mistake is giving your kids a digital dossier.
Mm-hmm.
And as babies are being born right now, every moment, everything that they're doing, from the sonogram to their first birthday to everything else, is being documented. And that is not exactly in their control. And so what's starting to happen now is there's a pushback for a desire of anonymity, which shows you why Snapchat is so popular. So I would say that the big advantage of being a Gen X
was... because it disappears, right?
Yes, right. So Gen X, we had the ability to be anonymous, and that gives us the ability to feel much more confident in who we are, because we had a chance to make mistakes and try out things without having serious long-term consequences for having, you know, trying out a new hairstyle or a personality trait.
This is from Chris Connor, who asked, what traits from a millennial or a Gen Xer do you think would work best to help someone win or do well at Survivor? Are there any sort of traits that you think, if you could map them over from the graph of what is part of each generation?
Yeah, I think Gen Y's ability to collaborate is absolutely going to be one of their number one strengths. I think the fact that they're multitaskers is going to be an incredibly big advantage. And I also think of the fact that they have lived their entire lives on display. They're used to being in the public eye. They know how to be public and to how to put on that 24/7 persona, because when you're on that island, you're on display. So I think those are a few things. The other thing about millennials is that they are used to not owning things. They're users, not owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding ways to be resourceful, to get the things they need and to trade and to barter and to collaborate, that's going to be something, you know, that crowdsourcing capability is going to be a really big advantage for them.
This is a great question from Wendy Jung, who says, conflicting studies have said that millennials suffer when it comes to in-person social skills because of the prevalence of technology from an early age. Do you think that this is true, and might it hurt the millennials in a game like Survivor when social skills are so important?
That is an incredibly smart question. So, and it could go either way, right? That's where the individual human being is going in their own personality. That's a generational expectation that, or one of those conversations that people have. Oh, well, they never talk to anybody, so they don't know how to have a conversation. I think that one is going to be, it could be the real differentiator depending on the personalities of the people. Because you're right, it is a little bit more challenging to have a conversation if it's not something that you're used to doing, and it could work against them. And I think that's a really smart thing to watch for. You'll have to see which of these millennials are going to be able to figure out how to have real-time conversations that they don't get to edit and they can't put an emoji in to make a statement and to emphasize a point that they want to have. Plus, I think that it could make them, they're so used to editing, right, what they say and thinking about it, that having to be in a real-time conversation could be slightly challenging for them.
In your opinion, the winner of this game will be a millennial or a Gen Xer?
I think we're going, my whole generation's going to go against me. I think we're going to see a millennial winner.
Yeah,
why? I think we'll see a millennial winner. I think that a millennial winner will find a way to collaborate, and then will be more well-liked than a Gen Xer. I think the Gen Xers will be much more competitive. I think that the crowd won't like them as much. I think that it's going to be harder for them to win the love and support of the people that were voted off the island. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the bitter end of who has built and maintained relationships all along the way. And I, unfortunately, as a Gen Xer, I hate to say this, but I think we're going to see a millennial winner.
Okay. Tony Scott wants to know, how should a Gen Xer talk to a millennial in a way to make the millennial feel accepted and understood?
I love this question. And frequently in my job, I feel like I do business therapy.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is to make sure they feel like they're being heard, that they get their opportunity to say what they're thinking, explain their position, so that the Gen X communicates that they're taking in their point of view, and then helping them understand that whatever they're talking about, if the Gen X wants that millennial to do something, making sure that they understand why. Not because the Gen X thinks it's right, but how it contributes to the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big difference. It's not do it because I'm telling you to do it. It's let's have a conversation about why this is important. And I want to hear what you're having to say, and I want to hear your feelings about this. That's going to be very hard, and most Gen X managers, when they hear this, they're going to roll their eyes and say, well, why the hell should I do that? Well, you want to win? That's what you have to do.
All right, one last question. In terms of Survivor, the TV show, which generation has a more vested interest in seeing how this works out? Is it more important for the millennials to see the millennials be triumphant, or is it more important for the Gen Xers to see the Gen Xers come out on top?
I think the Gen Xers want to win much, much, much more than the millennials do, because the millennials are so used to winning. In the audience,
okay.
Yeah, I think I can tell you, I'm going to be having viewing parties. It's going to be playing out. It plays out in every office every day where Gen Xers are having to manage millennials. This is payback time, baby. This is where we're going to try to see the rubber meet the road, where we're going to get to see millennials not be able to function, where we're going to get to see them suffer from their need to collaborate. I think Gen Xers have this invested interest. It's a way of fulfilling their daily fantasies for wanting to strangle their Gen X employees. I think it's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what social media does. It's going to be fantastic. And there's going to be a huge divide.
One other thing I just wanted to ask you, you know, there's so much talk about how millennials like things that disrupt the status quo. I feel like that the Gen Xers are going to probably try to run the same playbook that we've seen time and time again on Survivor. But do you feel like that there's an opportunity here for a millennial to come in and really get a lot of momentum if they try to play the game in an unconventional way?
And I think, yes. And I think that the most unconventional strategy will be to form an alliance cross-generation. And I think that any millennial that can figure out how to make a Gen X feel acknowledged and respected is going to find a way to have an advantage and be able to play into that. So I do think that the millennial that can figure out how to disrupt will have an advantage. But I think those Gen Xers are going to be really competitive. I think they're going to work very hard to survive, to win, and to triumph. This is going to be a battle. This, as I said, it's not the battle of the sexes. It's the war of the generations, and Gen Xers are going to play to win.
Okay, well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on with us. That all of your information on this is incredibly interesting. It's no wonder you are great at what you do. And again, no pun intended, Wonderman, coming on with us. And of course, you can follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Central. Where can people see more about your work on this stuff?
At Jamie Central. That's my place. That's where I share and I get into constant battles about generations all the time.
Some will break out in the comments of this podcast.
I will be following this, and I'm having viewing parties, and I am so thrilled to have been able to share some of my insights. I certainly don't know everything. I certainly have my own point of view because I am a Gen X. But this is going to be super fun, and I look forward to watching this on TV and in the social universe.
Okay. And I just want to say before we close, we are just talking about in very generalizations. We don't mean that every single millennial person who's listening to this acts a certain way or every single Gen X person. These are just tendencies of a generation, not necessarily of an individual.
Yes, let me reiterate. So when people hit me at Jamie Central and they say, you don't know anything, I'm not like that, you're absolutely right. On an individual basis, nobody is any one way. This is just so that people can put other behaviors into large buckets so that you can have some generalizations that give you some kind of an indication about how people are going to behave.
Yes, because I don't want anybody to be offended by anything we've talked about here on the podcast, Jamie.
No offense. No offense ever, please. Nothing intended. That is not the idea. This is just about giving a little bit of insight.
Yes. All right. Well, Jamie, thank you again so much. I'm so glad that we did this and really appreciate it. And hope you enjoy the season.
Thanks, Rob. Me too. Looking forward to it.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jamie, good friend here on the podcast. Very fun to talk this through. Something that I had been thinking about and glad to have an expert on hand to be able to actually provide some insight into this field. And she did a really incredible job of getting into all of these things. And should be a lot of fun to see how it all plays out for as long as we end up in these tribes. And it might only be two episodes on the show, but definitely a fun thing to explore here in the preseason. All right, so our next Survivor podcast, we're going to have, speaking of Gen X, we're going to have our Gen X preview coming up later on this week. We did our millennial preview at the end of last week up on robhasawebsite.com. You can definitely check that out as well. Plus, all of our Big Brother coverage that's ongoing, you know where to find it, robhasawebsite.com. And for our iTunes feed, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And of course, we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.